All right, well, we're moving on to the Cardinals here. You know, this has been a real impressive football team to watch, you know, where they were last year, how they finished up the season, and, you know, off to the same kind of start this year against Seattle. Winning in the fourth quarter, winning close games, and a lot of real tight competitive games that come down to the wire that they find a way to win. And they have a lot of good football players, have some really outstanding players, amongst the best at their position in the league, I would say. A lot of weapons on offense. We got real good receivers, tight ends, running backs. Both quarterbacks have won. You know, defensively, they got a very disruptive front. They're very strong down the middle with Dockett, Campbell, Washington, Wilson, that group, and outstanding in the kicking game. Great kick blocking team, good kick returning team. So every play is a potential game changing play on special teams. This would be a huge challenge for us in the kicking game, protecting the kickers and covering the kicks. So we've got a lot of work to do this week. Real good football team coming in here that's, again, played under a lot of pressure, play with poise. They're well coached, they're tough physically, mentally. They play great situation football, and that's why they won 8 of the last 10 games. So,
well, part of the weekend will be honoring Troy Brown as he's inducted into the team's Hall of Fame. Curious your thoughts on Troy and his career with the team.
Great career. Can't think of anybody more deserving to go in than him. Special player, you know, came in very unheralded, worked his way up on the roster offensively, returned kicks, ended up playing for us defensively, championships, played at a very high level, played his best football in the big games. You know, Troy was a great leader, worked harder, as hard as anybody, unselfishly, always did what we asked him to do. From a team standpoint, whether it was block, catch passes, return kicks, cover receivers. He truly was a good player in all three phases of the game and an outstanding player offensively and in the kicking game. Always did it for the good of the team, and he was a big reason why we won a lot of games while I was coaching while he was here. Can never really replace a guy like that. He's just special, very deserving.
Before we get to Arizona, I just wanted to ask about 2000, the first year that you were coaching. He was 60% of the offense at times, it seems.
At least. It was like 80% of the passing game. Yeah. Yeah, just find another way to try to get him the ball. He carried a lot of the load and you know, was productive for us in the kicking game, especially in 01. I mean, the punt return against Cleveland, obviously the punt return against Pittsburgh in the AFC Championship game. I mean, he made plays on special teams that put us in position to win some games with the returns, as well as, you know, what he did offensively, converting third downs and keeping the chains moving, giving our defense a little bit of a break.
Will the, to switch to Arizona, what are those two safeties and their experience and ability to play and make plays on the ball bring to that defense overall?
A lot. I mean, that's why they're so good defensively. And of course, they're the best red area defense in the league over the last 2 years. And then we saw that again last week against Seattle. It's hard to score on them. Wilson's an outstanding player, one of the best in the league. Makes a lot of tackles in the running game, makes a lot of them for little or no gain. He's not a, you know, make the tackle 10 yards down the field type of guy. He's the guy that'll get up there and hit you on the line of scrimmage and create second and 10, second and 11, second and 12s. Good coverage player, very instinctive, has good awareness of quarterback, recognizes route combinations. He's a big hitter back there. He's a thumper over the middle. He controls the middle of the field. So, Kerry Rhodes, you know, we played against him many times at the Jets. Athletic, long, covers a lot of ground, fast. Good in man coverage, good in zone coverage, reads quarterback well, too. Doesn't play down as much as Wilson. Wilson plays down more. Rhodes plays back more. They complement each other well, but they can both do the other things, too, so you can't totally key on them. But they're very strong down the middle. Rhodes, Wilson, Washington, Dockett, Campbell, Williams on the nose. So they're, like, right down the middle of that defense. They're pretty good.
Their speed factor into their red zone defense success?
Yeah, they have good team speed. They have good team speed. Good team speed in the front seven, good team speed in the secondary. Their pursuit's good. They play hard. I mean, they're not only fast, but they hustle and they play hard. They chase down a lot of plays from behind, screen passes, outside runs, or even plays that break the line of scrimmage. They always got guys coming after them. They cause fumbles. Because they're Dockett and Campbell and defensive end, Schofield and Acho. Quinn Groves, those guys can really run, and then when they get there, you know, they can do some damage. They're hard hitters, knock balls loose. So it's a good, fast defense, explosive, cause a lot of negative plays. They pressure a lot, so the blitzes get a lot of people moving fast anyway. So they do a good job.
Spend any more time this week on special teams, given what Arizona can do?
Well, I mean, there's only so many hours in the day, but, I mean, we still, in addition to our normal preparation for it, I mean, we'll continue to emphasize it. I mean, as our players all, I mean, we can all see it. It's no big secret. But we just got to really do things. There's no margin for error. I mean, that's what it comes down to. You can't let Howling loose. You can't let Peterson loose. You can't miss a field goal or punt protection or be a little late on it, or those guys will be by you and they'll have it blocked. You know, they got another one in Bethel. I mean, he's, you know, was a great kick blocker in college. Now they added him to the rush. I mean, he got one in preseason. So they're it's not one guy. I mean, they got a lot of guys that can block them, and then they got returners that don't need much. They're fast and they can outrun the coverage, and they're strong and they can break those arm tackles, and guys that really don't get a good clean shot at them, they run through those and then it's all over. So they're hard to deal with. Well coached, they have good schemes. They present problems with just the X's and O's, where they place guys, how they do it, their blocking patterns and so forth. I mean, that's a problem, and the players are a problem. They got good gunners. They got good kickoff coverage guys, you know, Johnson and Bethel and Mike Adams. I mean, those guys get down there, and they make a lot of plays, too, in coverage. So it's a very good special teams group.
We've seen you guys run the no huddle for years now. From your time in the game, when did that really start from your view, and have you ever seen as much no huddle around the league as we're seeing now?
I mean, I don't know. I really just saw one game last weekend. Well, two, Seattle and Arizona, so I'm probably not the expert witness on that one.
No huddle in general, in terms of when it's run effectively, how that can be a weapon for a team that does it well.
I mean, it still comes down to running the plays. I mean, there's no, like, magic to running the no huddle. I mean, Johnny Unitas, Raymond Berry, Jimmy Orr, and those guys, I mean, they ran the 2-minute drill no huddle as well as anybody. But it still comes down to execution. You got to block them, you got to throw it, you got to catch it, you got to run it. So you can do it a little bit quicker. Sometimes you can gain a little bit of an advantage on the defense, but you still got to go out there and execute the plays. So I don't think that's as important as good execution. I mean, that's just the way I feel about it. I'm sure nobody else would agree with that, but that's my opinion.
From makes Campbell so good for them?
Everything.
He's long, he's explosive, he's powerful, he's quick, plays hard, he's got a really good motor, doesn't stop. He's got good awareness, very instinctive. He bats down a lot of passes. I mean, he hits the quarterback a lot, but he also gets in the throwing lane. He knows when the quarterback's looking his way. He gets those long arms up there. He bats balls down. I mean, he intercepted one against Vic last year. He batted it right to himself. I mean, just reached up and caught it, you know. So he does everything well. I don't think there's any weakness to his game. I mean, he's hard to run at. He's hard to run away from. I mean, he's pretty good at everything.
Other than the obvious physical skills that he brings, what makes Peterson such a good returner?
He's fast enough to outrun people, and he's strong enough to run through them if they don't really get a good shot at him. Well, you know, if they do get a good shot at him, but I mean, you know, the guy's 220 pounds. So, I mean, you gotta tackle this guy. And he's moving. I mean, he's fast. So, catching him's a problem, and then getting him down's a problem, even if you catch him. So, I'd say those are the two. I mean, he's instinctive. He's got good vision. I mean, he knows where the holes are, and he sets things up, but guys that are big and fast, I mean, that's pretty obvious what the problems are. Just getting to the guy's a problem. But getting them down's a problem, too. I mean, there's plenty of his long returns now where they get shots at him. And it's not like it just opens up and there he goes. I mean, he runs through arm tackles, shoulder tackles, guys that can't quite get there. He's through all that. And it doesn't slow him down either. I mean, he's, you know, like, you got to hit this guy.
Hey, Bill, yesterday Mike Lombardi said that ever since he's met you, all you've cared about is tight ends. Obviously exaggerating a little bit, but why is the tight end position so important to an offense, in your opinion?
Well, I just think a tight end's involved in a lot of plays. He's involved in the running game. He's involved in the passing game because he's in the middle of the field. He's involved in pass protection. There's really no way, really aren't hardly any plays where, you know, that guy's out of the play. He's a central guy in pretty much whatever you want to do. And the more versatile he is, the more things he can do, then defensively the harder it is to defend. You know, so if you have to defend a guy in the passing game, then that's an issue. You got to worry about them running behind him. That's an issue. You got to worry about his speed. That's an issue. You know, you got to worry about him breaking tackles and catching short passes and turning them into long plays. I mean, so the more versatile any player is, the more valuable they are. And at that position in the middle of the field with, you know, skill players who are involved in every play, it's just they're harder to – it's just they give you more options.
I know you coached Mark Bavaro way back when. You know, do you see any similarities with Rob Mikowski and him?
Sure.
Can you elaborate maybe a little bit on what –
Yeah, I mean, all the obvious things. Tough, strong, physical, good catch radius. Tall, within the red zone. I mean, Mark was a tremendous player. I mean, tremendous player. In my opinion, there aren't many. I don't know if there's more complete tight end than Mark Bavaro. There's guys that have stats that are in the Hall of Fame and, you know, whatever. But talk about a guy that, you know, could line up across from Reggie White and actually block him. You know. That alone is, you know, would meet my criteria. Great in the red zone, tough. Played great in big games. Didn't make any mental mistakes. You know, didn't. I mean, he was always at the point of attack, and you could always count on him. Played hurt, played tough, played against the best players in the league at his time, and really, he handled himself well. Played against the two best outside linebackers in football every day in practice. And, I mean, that was a war. That was a war. And Banks and Taylor will tell you that. I mean, when they got to the game, there wasn't anybody that was tougher than they were. And I'm sure Bavaro will tell you the same thing about those two guys after going against Banks and Taylor in practice. Whoever they were blocking, you know, it probably wasn't as bad as going against those two. So it was a great competitive situation in practice. Training camp was awesome. I mean, those are three good football players every day, you know, very competitive, trying to get the best of the other guy, but it was that they all got better. Mark was great. I mean, he was a tremendous player.
Are those days gone, Bill, just because of the rules, the CBA, the how much you can hit practice?
Yeah, two-day practices, they're definitely gone. Yeah. We kissed those goodbye last year, so. But.
With John Skelton's ankle injury last weekend, how will your game plan change, if at all, when it comes to Kevin Cobb?
Well, they're both good players, and they've won with both players, and we'll have to be ready for whoever they put in there. We can't control that. You know, I think their skill sets are a little bit different, but the offense is the same, and certainly when Cole came in last week, they didn't change their offense. They continued to do what they do, so, you know, we have to defend the other 10 guys as well as the quarterback. It's just more of an awareness of which guy's in there and just knowing his skills. It's like when they have different running backs, whether it's Williams or Wells or whoever it is, it's still the same plays. We still have to deal with the other 10 guys, but the guy carrying the ball, you know, their skills are a little bit different, but they're both good. And I'd say the same thing about the quarterback position.
You've talked about them being a mature group. Does that mean you don't really have to remind them that what happened on Sunday doesn't
These guys need to be. Are you kidding me? They played one game. I mean, I don't think any rookie's got all the answers after one game. So I don't think any experienced coach has the answers after one game either. I mean, it's one game. So, yeah, everybody needs to be coached. Everybody needs to improve. There's a lot of things that everybody needs to do better. And I would put the rookies at the absolute top of that list. Like, not behind anybody. They would be number one. It's going to get a lot harder for them before it gets easier. I'll tell you that. All right. Thanks.